talking and looking at the fact that we all want to be blessed. I don't think anybody would ever say, I don't want to be blessed. I want to be cursed. I want to be blessed. I want things to be the way that I want them to be. I want things to be the way that God wants them to be. I want to have good things. And oftentimes when we say, you know, I've been blessed, that means that we've been blessed, we've been given a good job and we make good money, that we've got a good car, that we've got a really nice house, that we've usually means blessed means we've always got more than what we need. And, sometimes we just really need to understand that when we got what we need, we've been blessed. You know, and so the series is looking at some things that that we often don't look at as blessings. Things that we maybe acknowledge, but that we don't really acknowledge them as being blessed by. And last week, we talked about being blessed with a need, that we all have a need for each other, that we have a need for other people to be in our lives, that we have a need to have relationships, and that there's that creates something in us, and we're blessed because of it. Because life's not meant to be lived alone. It's meant to have other people around us, people that bring out the best in us, people that complete us as our marriage relationship should do, and things like that. We're blessed because we have that need of each other. This week we're going to look at another blessing that we often don't recognize as that. And so I'm guessing that if I was to kind of come down and just spend a little time with each of you and begin to ask you about what's going on with you, you would all have something that bothers you, something that really is kind of churning inside. Some, you know, coming in the Sunday after the election, I guess you probably all expected me to start off with that, but the reality is that just coming off of that, we probably all have some things that are bothering us. Some of us would be maybe on one side, and some of us on the other side. If there's, I don't even like that whole side thing when it comes to the fact that we all have to live together. But that's a whole nother sermon series, and we'll talk about that later. But the reality is that there's stuff that's bothering us that's going on in the world. That's why votes are different, and we look at different things because different stuff bothers us. There are things that keep us up at night. There are things that we see and we just say, you know what, that's just not right. And the reality of what that is in our lives is truly a blessing. It's the blessing that God gives us of a burden. You've been blessed with a burden. You've been blessed with something that makes you human, that makes you see other humans and say, man, that's just not right. That you see things going on and you're like, man, I just don't think that lives up to what God would want. I look at that and say, you know, man, that should be different. That's a burden. That's something that we've been blessed by. Pastor Bill Hybels calls it the Popeye effect. You know, anybody know Popeye? Like some of you baby faces are like, who's Popeye? You know, but you know, Popeye had this thing, right? He had this girl. Remember old Olive Oil? She was a hottie, right? You know? And he had this thing for this girl, Olive Oil, and there was this other guy named Brutus who was this big, you know, bruising, big meathead, you know, and he always wanted to kind of try to get, you know, Olive Oil to go with him, and he was always trying to, you know, snatch her and take her somewhere against her will. And, you know, if we showed those commercials today, man, people would go crazy because it's, you know, it's all that stuff. But the reality is it was a cartoon and we all watched it and we all kind of turned out okay. But the thing of it is that there was this guy who was after Olive Oil and her boyfriend, Popeye, would finally have enough. He would have this Popeye moment where he would blow steam out of his corncob pipe, and he would get and he would pull out the can of spinach, squeeze it, and suck it down, and oh man, the can was really opened, okay? And Popeye would go off on Brutus, and he would wear him out, and he would rescue Olive Oil. See, he had had enough of Brutus. Whatever was going on, he was done with it, and he'd had all he could take, and it was time to do something about it. And we all have that in us. We all have something in us that God has blessed us with that we are geared up, wired up, and ready to respond. The problem is, I think that we've gotten to a place where we've begun to look at not the burden not as a blessing, but as a curse. And we've decided that we're going to put those burdens on a shelf, and we're not going to do something about it, but we're going to let somebody else do something about it. And then when they don't do what we want them to do, we're going to get really mad about it. And that's where our society has gotten to. And so the burden that you have, that thing in you that really just, you know, gets your blood boiling and gets you ready to do something, that is a piece that you have that you've been blessed with, and God wants to use you to do something about it. So my prayer is for every single one of us, that as we talk about the blessing of our burden, that we begin to get real about our burden. That we don't just see it as something that somebody else can do something about, but that our burden becomes something that we're willing to do something about. That we're willing to do what God wants us to do when it comes to that. And so the first thing that we've got to do is identify our burden. We've got to figure out what it is so that we know how to do something about it. And so I'm going to ask you some questions that are going to hopefully bring you to a place that helps you identify your burden. The first one is this: what breaks your heart? What is it that when you see it or hear about it or you know, have to become part of it or whatever, what is it that breaks your heart? You know what should break our hearts? The things that break God's heart. And how do we know what breaks God's heart? We go back to the Bible. Because he's wrote those things down in here for us. He's written a book about us that's a manual for living the life that he calls us to. And I know some of you are like, Ron, will you stop telling me to read my Bible? No. All right? Just get over it. Because I have a burden. And we'll talk about my burden in a little bit. But the reality is that if you want to know what breaks God's heart, read about it. He's very clear. And I think we've taken those things and we've not made them clear. We've blurred them out and we've tried to make them fit what breaks, you know, what bothers us. And the reality is it should go the other way. We should always look to the one who created us, gave us our purpose, to figure out what should break our hearts. And it should be the same things that break his heart. The things that we look at and we say, you know what, it's just not right. It's just not the way it should be. In Nehemiah, we read about his heart being broken for something. Nehemiah was in a land that wasn't his own. He had a pretty cushy job there, but he was able to hear about what was going on back home, and what was going on was that Jerusalem, his home city, it was in shambles. It had been broken down and torn down, and he hears this report from people who had gone by back in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. So let me ask you, this little side note. So we've all watched what's happened this week, right? And we've all been pretty passionate about it on both sides of it. But how many of us have wept over it? How many of us has it really bothered us enough that our country is where it's at to really break down? Because I'm stretching it. Maybe I'm being one of those doomsday preachers. I hope not, because I always try not to be. But I wonder, are our walls broken down and our gates burned a little bit? Is our country kind of in shambles? And aren't we hearing about it? And Nehemiah says when he heard those things, it broke him down. That he sat down and wept. And for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What is it that you have a burden for that has broken your heart so much that you sat down in tears over it and it brought you to a place that you couldn't eat, you couldn't sleep, that you needed to do something about it? Maybe even though you looked at it and said, you know what, I know I need to do something about it, it's too big for me, but this is just where it gets me. Listen, just for a moment, take out the whole I can't do something about it thing right now. But what is it that has broken your heart and got you to a place that it brought you to tears and it brought you to a place that, you know, the only thing you knew to do was to fast and to pray? I dare to say in the church, there's very few, and that's a pretty strong statement, but there's very few people within the church that call themselves a believer in Christ who've truly fasted and prayed for something to be different. And I think the Bible is full of the example that it's a powerful tool that we have. If we want to see things different, I'm going to encourage you, fast and pray. If you've got a burden about something, whether it's our country or you know, your finances or your marriage or whatever, fast and pray. Listen to the example set. But the things that burden us, that break our hearts, they should take us to that place. Nehemiah was like, man, I can't get over this. This is killing me right now that things are the way that they are. And if you know the account of Nehemiah, he starts with a broken heart about the situation. And then who does God use to fix the situation? Nehemiah. He sends him back there, and Nehemiah is the one who helps him rebuild the walls in an incredible amount of time. He goes back because of this burden. It drives him to go back and fix it, to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. You and I, when we have a broken heart about something, we got to be willing to do something about it. What is it that breaks your heart? Maybe it's poverty. Maybe you see people who are struggling. And you're like, I got to do something about it. I feel bad for them. My heart is broken for them because of their situation. Now, if your heart gets broken because somebody's got a 4-year-old car with 100,000 miles on it, you probably ought to go a little bit deeper, okay? I'm just saying. But when you see people who don't have clothes and don't have food, does that break your heart? I love the fact that Missy and Crystal said, you know what, it breaks my heart that our community needs, there are people that have needs at Christmas. They need clothes. They need food. They do need to give something to their kids. Now, I mean, well, listen, we can take all that stuff out. I get that. But why can't we do something that does kind of, you know, that's, you know, seems like it's of the world, but not of the world? You get me? Where we can meet somebody's need and get their attention so that we can share the gospel, that we can tell them that it's not about a brand new Hot Wheels racetrack, but it's about a God who loved them enough to give his son on a cross to pay the price for their sins so that they can forever be forgiven and spend that relationship with the God who created them. Why can't we do that? But they loved their community enough to say, you know what, we're going to do this Great Day giveaway. We want to do that. We want to open up the doors of the church. We want people to bring all their junk and dump it here. Hey, don't bring your junk, please. But bring all your stuff so that people can come in and get what they need and we can meet a need. They got a burden. It broke their heart to see that. And they did something about it. So we're going to have that on December the 10th. We're going to move all these chairs out. We're going to put up tables and we're going to bring in, you know, all kinds of stuff. If you have clothes that you don't need anymore, if you have food in your pantry that you would eat but haven't, don't bring the stuff that you won't eat, you know. Why do we always do that with food drives? We always go get the stuff we wouldn't eat out of our cabinets and bring it to us. I don't understand. But anyway, how did that stuff end up in our cabinets anyway? We wouldn't eat it anyway. That's a whole shiny squirrel there I shouldn't have chased. But we need you to help. Go buy a cheap gift and bring it, because it could change some little kid's life for eternity. It could change his mom and dad's life and their whole situation. We don't know. We just got to know that we got a burden that it should break our heart, and we should want to do something about it. We have a chance to do that here at URA Community Church. If you know people, they don't have to go to church here. It's not about the church. It's about meeting a need. And being able to help people where they are. What breaks your heart? What makes you angry? I know what makes me angry. People who take cell phone calls in the movies. Yeah, that bother you. Texting in a movie and they're all glowing over there while you know, you're trying to watch the movie. That just bothers me. Bothers me when they do it in church too, but that's a whole other thing. So anyway, but the truth is that there's things that make us mad, that make us angry. I'm not talking about those kind of pet peeves that we have. I'm talking about what gives us a righteous anger. What is it that we see and we say, you know what, God wouldn't want it to be that way. What is it that you see that happens that you know that it's just not the way that God would have it to be, and it just gets your blood boiling? What is it? From Moses in Exodus chapter 2, we read that he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew and one of his own people and glancing this way and that way. See, he knew what he was doing. He looked both ways, right? And seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. He said, you know what? I had enough of this. And he whooped him right there and stuck him in the sand. Now, I'm not telling anybody to go all UFC on somebody because you're mad at them and break them and hurt them and kill them. Don't do that. Don't be trying to use the pastor defense. You know, my pastor told me to do it in church Sunday. You know, no, don't do that. But the reality is there's got to be things that we see when and we have our Popeye moment that it just gets all over us, and it's time to do something about it. That we get angry in a sense that there's got to be a different way. It should make us angry that there are addictions in our community the way that they are. It should bother us that our schools have the things in them that they have in them, that our kids are exposed to what they're exposed to. It should bother us. It should make us mad. Man, I have to do something about it. Mother Teresa said it bothered her that there were kids in Ethiopia who were starving. And she said this, Mother Teresa now, right? The one that we say, you know, the saint of all saints, the one that we hold everything to, said this. She says, when I see waste, I feel angry on the inside. I don't approve of myself for getting angry, but it's something you can't help after seeing the people in Ethiopia. See, even Mother Teresa knows how to get angry over stuff, to want to see something different. When was the last time that it just got you that things are the way that they are? I'm not talking about temper tantrums because things didn't go your way. That's a whole nother story, and you probably know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the righteous indignation that things aren't the way that God would want them to be. That things, that people are suffering in ways that they just shouldn't be suffering in because of the circumstances of the world. Things that we can truly do something about, that kids... You know, my wife and I actually got a date night last night. I think it was the first time in like 2 months maybe that we just got away. We went to see Shonda Pierce, the Christian comedian, and man, she is so funny. If you never heard of her or seen anything, it's definitely a chicks thing because there was only like 12 guys there. I was one of them. But anyway, they even closed down the men's bathrooms. There was so many women there. You know, I'm like, and gave us a bush outside. That's literally what they said. But anyway, that's golly. But we're there, and part of their whole deal was that they were helping to feed kids in Nicaragua, and yeah, however you say that, my mouth didn't want to work that good, you know. But you know what I'm talking about. So part of that because it was a burden for them, that kids were hungry, and so they were willing to stop right in the middle of what they were doing and give those kids a chance to be fed. So for you and me, what is it that we stop? What is it that makes us angry? Here's the third question. What do you care about that others don't? What do you care about? Because see, sometimes people come to me and they say, Ron, I got a great idea. Here's what we should do. We should do this. And I'm like, that's great. But nobody else cares about that. I mean, we could do that, but like nobody else is going to be involved because that's not a burden that somebody else has. That's your burden. That's what you need to do something about. We can't do something on a big scale because that's not the burden that we have. It's not the burden that he's given us as a church together. But he's certainly given you a burden of that. And it's not that I don't care about it and that you don't care, you know, that others don't care about it. It's just that's not what makes them angry. That's not what breaks their heart. If it's what breaks your heart and makes you angry and that nobody else seems to be doing something about it, that doesn't mean that you can't do something about it. It just means it doesn't mean we have to do something on a big scale, but you can certainly do something on a smaller scale. But what is it that your situation, maybe it's your financial situation, maybe it's your job situation, it's your skill situation, it's your family situation, whatever it is, what is it that God has shown you that there's a burden in you, that there's something that makes you angry and breaks your heart, that you, because of where you're at, can do something about? What is it for you? What is it that others don't care about, but you do? Nothing wrong with that. Maybe it's that you need to care about it so that others can. What is it? Maybe you see people who are, maybe your Bible knowledge is really good and you're strong and you're not afraid to work with people and all that, and you see people around you who don't have a strong biblical base, who are not grounded in their theology like they should, but you have it. Maybe it's that you, because of what you have, can go and teach someone else how to have that. That maybe it's that you care about other people spiritually and you just want to have the opportunity to share with them. Listen, man, we will find a way to get you a group of people together. I'll let you do that. What is it that you see that needs to be done that's not being done? Here's the question. The statement that you have to come to, the statement you have to fill out, can't do it for you, you got to do it. I'm burdened by whatever. There's a blank on the back of your program that you can fill in. What is it? That while I've been talking, man, God just been like beating you up with this thing that's like, that's it. That's what it is. It's my burden. You need to identify it and then begin to allow God to do something with it. Start to identify it and then go. Now listen, there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. There's a completely wrong way that you could approach your burden that can mess things up. First one is that you can complain about it. And if our society is really good at one thing, it's complaining, isn't it? We like to complain. And we like to talk a lot. Sometimes I get talked to death over stuff. You know, sometimes when I say don't send me an email about that, when I'm kind of joking, I'm not joking. Because people like to complain about everything. They don't like this, they don't like that, they don't like the way that this is done, that's done. Listen, just if you got a burden about it, don't complain about it. Do something about it. Don't complain. Everybody in their society wants to blame somebody else, but listen, let's just quit complaining and whining and all that stuff, and let's just get busy and do something that improves the situation. Maybe it's just that we need to love our neighbor. The other day, I'm in Lowe's. I it was just bugging me because all, you know, everybody's protesting and everybody's angry and all, you know, it's just a bad, weird kind of vibe going on there. I went down the food line, bought a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups, and came back and just started handing them out as I was walking down through there. And man, it was like I was giving away gold. And it was amazing that people started smiling and talking to me. People hadn't even spoken to me ever before. I just gave them a Reese's peanut butter cup and we were best friends. I mean, when was the last time that you did something that helped people? I mean, we got to quit talking about it and do something about it. The second thing that's not good when it comes to your burden is to ignore it. Don't ignore it. If God's given it to you, it is yours, and you are responsible for it. You need to do something with it so that he can do it the way he wants to do it, because he's given it to you, and you're part of it. Don't ignore it. Don't just let it go. You know, a lot of us watch those little kids on TV, you know, and we're like, you know, we're brokenhearted because they're hungry and all of that. And then we flip it over and watch Jimmy Kimmel and forget and laugh and forget all about that little broken heart that we just saw. You know? Don't ignore it. If God's given you that, do something with it. The third one is this. Don't appease it. Don't appease it. Don't just see that little kid, send $35 a month and forget all about it. If you're going to sponsor a child, or you're going to see a need and you want to do something about it, write a letter to them. Do something with it. Don't just let it be something that's there because you feel better about it because you send some money every so often. It'd be better to not do anything at all than to just throw money at something and not be willing to throw you at it. Don't appease it. Do something with it. So that's the wrong way. What's the right way? The right way to embrace your burden is first, let your burden ruin you. Let it just get all over you and just mess you up. Let that thing that's breaking your heart, making you angry, and it's there that you can do something about it, but nobody else can, let it just ruin you. Let it mess you up so that you become part of the catalyst of getting something done about it. If it's waking you up at 2 a.m. and it's not letting you rest and it's just keeping you uptight and all of that stuff, then do something with it. You're ruined and you're heading that way. Let it go on and ruin you so that it makes you do something with it. And I think of a burden that has ruined somebody. I think of Teresa Bundy. Teresa Bundy is here. She's not in here in the room. She's back there with our kids, where she is every Sunday during this time. She's back there loving the kids, but she has this burden that most of you probably don't even know about. But she has a relationship with a pastor and his family and church in Kenya. And she's been there several times, and we're looking to hopefully go next year maybe, or very soon, to go over and spend some time with them and just minister together. But she, I bet she doesn't even know how much money she has probably spent and sent them to help them, to minister and help provide things for their church and provide things for kids that they take in, to help with medical bills that his wife just recently had as she went through cancer and it's just an amazing thing. She's just let that ruin her in such a great way. You know, I don't say that negatively. I mean it positively. She just loves those people, and they love her, and God has put a burden for them on her heart, and she will do anything she can to help them. She does like some kind of Belk's coupons and stuff. I mean, just all kinds of stuff to help raise money so that they can be provided for. And I just, when I think of that, when I was writing this, I'm like, man, this is like Teresa Bundy all over right here. That's just where she is. And she's not just like that with them. She's like that with your church as well, with us. She does a lot of stuff that nobody knows about. But I just think about, what if we could all get ruined like Teresa Bundy about something? What if we just were just crazy enough to just let God use us in a great way to minister to somebody somewhere and help them where they are? What if the church, if this room would just get crazy, crazier, because I know some of you, crazier than, and I mean that both ways, yeah, crazier, if we would just get crazier about what God wants to do, then I'm telling you, it would be amazing what we could do. But what if the church itself, the Big C Church, all of us together, one on every corner in Stanley County, what if we just got crazy enough to find out what our burden was and follow it and do something about it? You know what would not happen? The junk we've been watching on TV. I mean, and I'm talking both sides of this whole thing. We would need to have all those discussions and all those me against you things. Because God would use those things to bring us together, and he would begin to use the church in the way that he wants to use the church, and it wouldn't be so crazy. We wouldn't have to worry about the government. It's not the government's place to do half the things they're doing, But they're doing it because the church hasn't stepped up to do it when it is our responsibility. I ain't getting no amens on that one. Maybe, whatever. Truth hurts sometimes. But it's true. So I'm thinking, man, what if we just got crazy about our burdens? What if we let our burden ruin us to the point that we just did whatever God told us to do and we just did it? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, Isaiah is here and King Uzziah has died and everybody around Isaiah, man, they're going crazy. They're freaking out because the king is dead. You know, they don't know what to think of it. And here's Isaiah. He says, "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." He says, listen, I'm ruined because I've seen God. I know who God is in my life, and I've been ruined by it. And I don't know what all this is going on, all this mess around me, but I know that God is God and He's in charge and I'm following Him. And I'm ruined enough to just believe that if I do what He says do, that things will improve. That I'll be okay. I think that's a very timely thing for us today. But Isaiah says, I'm ruined. I'll never be the same. I've experienced Him. And I know who He is to me. So you need to let your burden ruin you. Like this burden for God had ruined Isaiah. But the second thing that we need to do, and this is where it's really key, is to let your burden move you into action. Now, preacher, you're about to go to meddling. Because you're telling me I can be messed up by it. Now you're telling me I got to go and do something about it. That means I'm going to have to get out of my chair. That means I'm probably going to have to come to church more than once a week. That means I'm probably going to have to talk about Jesus, actually. That means I'm probably going to read my Bible that you keep telling me because I need to know how to do what He wants me to do. Listen, when we have the burden, when we have seen God and understand what He's done for us, then the rest of it, I'm telling you, it should get easier. But we like to make it harder. But let your burden move you to action. Let it now not just mess you up. Don't let it just keep you up at night. Don't let it just, make you throw some money at something. Don't just let it do, but really do something about it. To invest you into it. To put you behind what needs to be done. Become so ruined that if you have to do something, that you have to do something about it. Let it move you to action. You know what? If you came in today and you said, you know what? That church wasn't really friendly today. I don't really like it. They just weren't nice to me. Well, how about staying and being nice to people for us? Because we're not good at it. I mean, we are good at it. But I'm just saying, if you feel that way, then maybe you should stay and be nice. Oh, I don't like that music. Oh, that Austin guy can't sing a lick. You're crazy, for one thing. But two, maybe you can sing better. Get on up here. If your burden is to hear the music better, or the church to be better, the kids program to be better, or the greeters to be better, or whatever, then step up. I can't say it. I can say it a lot harder, sure, if you'd like. If that helps. Because listen, we have burdens to see churches different. We have burdens to want things to be better. We have burdens to want people to come and hear about Jesus and come and have friends who are Christians rather than friends who are addicts or whatever. Then listen, we got to step up and be those things. We can't just expect somebody else to do it. I always say the busiest person in any church is somebody else because we want somebody else to be doing everything. But no, it's not. This is, the burden is about you. They always tell me don't point, but it is. All right? Just remember there's more pointing back than there are out. All right? It's about us. And Isaiah was burdened because he knew who God was. And then he said this in Isaiah of 6, chapter 6, verse 8. He says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" Listen, if you think that the Bible ought to be studied deeper here than what I preach, then what time would you like to have your Bible study? I can't, you know, I'm game. If you think that we should have a young married class to help our young married folks, which I really happen to think we do need, I'll teach it if I have to, but maybe you have a burden for that. I would love to set you up with a time. I got about 6 or 8 couples I could send right to you. If you think that the coffee should be a little bit better, Miss Bobby will be glad to let you come and make the coffee. I mean, we would love for you to be here and make things better. We're all for that. But here's the thing. When Isaiah was pressed and God said, okay, somebody's got to do something, you know, who's it going to be? And Isaiah didn't say somebody else. Isaiah said, "Here am I." And so your burden is your burden, and you are blessed to have it. Because God wants to use you to do something in the lives of the people around you. And are you willing to let Him do it? To be ruined in a most righteous, most spiritual, most holy, joyful way, and to be in a place where you know that you're doing what God wants you to do. People always ask me, what's His will for me? Find that burden and do it, because then you're going to be in His will. Here's a prayer that I've adopted for you guys, and it's written actually by another pastor, but I've just adopted it to begin to pray it over our church. And here's what it says. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships. May He bless you with a discomfort in those things, because that's not what it's about. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you can work. Get the word work? I know that's a Christian cuss word, but that's okay. Work for justice, peace, and freedom. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, and starvation, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. A little bit ago, I was up here while we were having the praise and worship time, and my wife came up to me and tapped me on the shoulders. I turned around, she's in tears. And I'm like, what do I do now? That's really what I thought. I'm sorry, but as I turned and she's in tears, she said, I just got a phone call from Leanne Gaddy's mom. If you don't know Leanne Gaddy, Leanne is a member of our church here, and her husband passed away 2 weeks ago after a battle with cancer, and at 35. Got a son who's 4. And so she said, Leanne's mom just called me and said, I need you to call Leanne. We just put her dad in the hospice And he has only a few days to live. And we almost lost him the other night. You know, I can't imagine what her pain is right now. I couldn't imagine her pain the other day. And now she's got the pain of losing her husband and her father in a matter of a few weeks. I mean, you got to think where she's at. What's she feel like is stacked against her right now? Well, you know the feeling. Like, what did I do? Right? Don't we feel that way when things start, we start looking inside, like, what have I done? Where, you know, and why is God against me? I mean, she handled the situation with her husband so amazingly. And now she's got to deal with this. And so I'm thinking, when I read this, may God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, and starvation, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and turn their pain into joy. And listen, y'all, somebody's going to have to reach out some hands to that family. I think of so many of you that have just recently lost people that you love in your families. And I know you need it too, and some of you are going through health crisis with family members and different things. I know you need hands out. And I got to tell you, for me, see, you want to know what my burden is? See, my burden is for this church. It's for you guys. And I only got two hands. And some days, I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but that's not my point. It's just my hands can't be everywhere that they need to be. I told you this last week. They had this 10-year anniversary for me for being, you know, in ministry for 10 years, and that was really cool. But I sat there the whole time thinking about all the opportunities I've missed. I couldn't celebrate the ones that I'd made that were right there in front of me. It was the ones I'd missed. And if we don't get a burden for each other, if we don't at least have this burden enough to reach out our hand to people who are hurting and going through things much worse than us, as bad as your stuff is, there's probably somebody that's got it worse. But until we as a church get a burden like that, we're going to keep coming in here and we're going to have empty seats everywhere and we're going to wonder where everybody is and we're going to be wondering, you know, oh, you know, I don't know, what are we doing wrong? I'm telling you, until we get to the place where we love each other enough to care about what's going on, this is how it'll be. It's why churches all over this place, that we have them on every corner, but they're sitting stinking empty because people just quit caring about each other and begin to only care about themselves. What's in it for me? I know this is kind of harsh. We're talking about being blessed, and I'm just beating you up, but I'm telling you that we've been blessed with a burden for each other. We talked about that need last week, and we have a burden, and it's got to first at least be for each other to love and care what's going on. We can have great music, and we do. We have a great kids program, we do. We can have friendly welcome, you know, greeters, we do. We can have all of those things. And you have an awesome preacher, but anyway, that's all another story. Y'all know I don't believe that. But we can do all of those things, but at the end, if we don't have a burden to just love people like Jesus loved us, we're just wasting our time. There's something a whole lot better that we can all be doing with our time and talents and money and everything else. But I just don't believe that's what God's called us to do. He's given me a burden to help you guys as best I can to love people and to love him and to love telling people about him. That's why we're here. And so what is your burden? What is it that breaks your heart? What is it that gets you mad? What is it that you can do that other people can't? Let it ruin you. And let it move you to action. Let's pray. God, today we stand before you, God, just in recognition of who you are. While I love the song, Good, Good Father, I love it. But God, I still believe that you are so much more than that. God, today I know that you have us here for a purpose. It's never an accident that we stand and find ourselves in your presence. And so today, God, I pray that you would speak clearly to us. What is it that we can do that nobody else can do? What is it that you've purposed us for that gets us worked up, that gets us ready to do something that is bigger than us? God, my prayer today is that we, just the people in this room, will just get crazy enough, just foolish enough to believe that you can do something greater than we can do by ourselves. And that we'll depend on you to take us to do it. That God, that there are people in this room who know that without you, that knowing where they are right now, God, that they are without a relationship with you. And that they desire that, they're looking for that, they know that they have fallen short of what you have set as the standard for our lives. And God, they're wandering around looking for something, and today they find themselves here, and today they can know the truth that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross to pay the price for our sins. For those times we fall short of your standard, God, the times that we go against who you are and what you want for us. How that thing we call sin. That your son paid the price for our sin on the cross, giving his life there. And he was taken off the cross and put into a tomb and raised again on the third day. And someone here today needs to know that is the truth for them. And for all of us, that your son Jesus did that so that we could be made right with you, forgiven of our sin, set free from the bondage of it, and God brought into a relationship with you that lasts forever. Whether we breathe on this earth or we take our last and find ourselves in heaven, God, that we can have that relationship with you. And God, today I believe there's people here that need to accept that and to acknowledge to you that they've done that, that they've sinned, fallen short, but recognize that Jesus is your son and he died on the cross, paid the price for it, and was raised again on the third day. To accept that and to be set free and forgiven forever. God, there's people in the room who've made that decision before that need to recommit to it, to acknowledge it, and to understand that they've been given a burden, been blessed with it, and now it's time to do something with it. God, I pray in these next few moments that they'll acknowledge that to you and to recommit and go after it the way that you've designed them to. God, for all of us in the room, maybe we just need to come and pray for Leanne Gaddy and her family. God, I can't think of a better thing to do. If that's all we got on the list, God, that's a great thing. But God, in these moments, may we be free to do whatever it is that you ask us to do, to not be held back by what somebody else may think, to not be held back by what we did last night, to not be held back by what we're thinking of doing later today, but to be at a place right now where we know, God, that you want to do something in our lives. God, move freely in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.